As we gather, let's prepare for worship by singing. We're going to be in the Purple Book, number 65. And this song has verses in Spanish and English. So we're going to do the first three verses. We're going to do it like this, Spanish first, then English. And we're going to do that same pattern just for the first three verses. Just three verses.
Welcome to the worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church. Welcome to those who will listen to the service at home and to those of us gathered here in Subdural La Carte. Special welcome to any guests or visitors. Let us worship together. I invite you to stand and turn to number 48 in the blue hymnal, All Creatures of Our God and King.
Lift up your voice and with us sing.
How beautiful is the word of the Lord. How wise are God's commandments. Through the Lord's precepts, we gain understanding. And through God's wisdom, we find truth. The Lord is our God, and we are God's people. God's word lives within us, for it is written on our hearts. Living word, great teacher, lead us and guide us. You can turn to sing the story number 200.
103.
Oh, this is still part of college.
Okay, sorry.
Sing the story. Yeah.
So Alan's chosen a prayer text that's in the back of your purple hymnal, and it's at number 200.
Thanks. In the face of all realities, we are the people who heal each other. We grow strong together, who name the truth, who know what it means to live in community, moving towards a common dream for a new heaven and a new earth, in the power of the love of God, in the company of Jesus Christ, in the leading of the Holy Spirit. Please join me in prayer. Dear God, write your words on our hearts. Lead us in your paths of righteousness. Send us your Spirit. Since the world began, no one has seen or heard of such a God as ours, who works for those who wait for him, who welcomes those who cheerfully do good and who follow godly ways. Forgive us our sins and send wisdom, power, and discernment so that we will may live in harmony. Amen.
Okay, lucky for you, we're in the same book, the purple one, and we're turned to page 103. Please stand if you are able. 103. In your green book, please turn to number 13. My soul is filled with joy, number 13 in the green book, and we will sing all the verses.
My soul is filled with joy as I
For an affirmation of faith, if you could take the slip of paper with a reading from the bulletin. This reading comes from the Colossian Way group that will be speaking later. It's one that they use in their service. So I'll begin. God is present in our gathering. Let us testify together to our desire to be faithful in all we do.
May the words of our lips and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O God.
May the words of our lips, in Christ all things hold together. Please turn to your neighbors and greet them in the name of Christ, saying, "Peace of Christ be with you."
And also with you.
Thank you.
We're fortunate this morning to be celebrating the blessing of Leo and Alicia and their son Benjamin. So I want to invite them and their family to come forward at this time. And for all the rest of you, you're going to need your blue song folder at the very end. So if you can turn in your blue Prairie Street Sings folder to number 22. At the very end, when we are bringing Benjamin around for each of you to bless and greet him, we'll be singing that song. So just keep that handy so that you don't have to fuss with it at the time. Yeah. This service we're conducting bilingually, and Julian and I are going to be taking turns with the prayers, and Dorothy Wiebe Johnson has been a special friend to the family, and she is going to offer a prayer for the parents. And let me get the other mic so that everybody can be heard. All right, so you're going to need this one, and you can... why don't you come and stand with me? We'll read together. Yeah. Okay. No, we'll read the same thing.
So. Is it the same?
Yeah, I promise. I typed it, it's the same thing. So,
okay.
So I'll read these and then the Spanish ones. Yep. When Christian parents present their child to God before the congregation, they come to thank God for the life entrusted to them, this little guy here, to offer their child back to God, and to ask for God's blessing on their life together. We, as a congregation, come to share their joy, there's a lot of joy, to pray with them for their son's well-being, and to receive him into the care of this whole church. Leo and Alicia, like Hannah and Mary of old, you have brought your child here to consecrate him to God. You have come to offer Leonardo Benjamin into the strong and tender providence of God and the nurture of the church.
Dios es amor, como un padre que nutre a sus hijos. Has cuidado de nosotros como una madre. Nos ha llamado por nuestros nombres y ha reclamado que somos tuyos y tuyas. Nos has criado con amor, colocado en familias humanas y bendecido en nuestro peregrinaje. En la presencia de tu Santo Espíritu, consagramos a este niño y a estos padres para su perenigraje, juntos en la vida, en el nombre de nuestro Señor Jesucristo, nuestro Salvador. Amén.
So, there are questions for the parents, and then we will also have questions that the congregation answers, because all of you, and you're representing other members of Prairie Street, you know, there's a lot of people not here today. There are people that can't come to church, they're not able to get out, but they are still part of our body of Christ, and you are answering on their behalf. So when it gets to that part, be really loud. Leo and Alicia, do you accept your child as a gift from God?
We do.
We do.
Okay. Let me give it back to Julian.
¿Están dispuestos a dedicarse como padres a criar a su hijo, enseñándole y amolestándola en el Señor, preparándola para que un día confiese libremente a Cristo?
Sí lo aceptamos.
Do you promise to gladly surrender your child to the ministry God has in mind already for him, even if it might involve Benjamin going to the ends of the earth?
We do.
We do.
Now this question is for you, people of God. Will you see that this child is nurtured in the faith of the church? Do you promise that by your prayers and witness, you will guide him into the full stature of Christ? And if you promise that, say, we will.
We will.
Se ocuparán de que este niño sea formado en la fe de la iglesia y mediante sus oraciones y testimonio de guiarlo hasta que alcance la estatura de Cristo.
What you say?
Padres.
So this is for the congregation, for anyone that speaks Spanish, you say, si
lo haré.
Lo haré. There we go. We're learning. Do you accept responsibility also for the well-being of this child? This is for the congregation. So will you treat this child like all others here? Will you, by prayer, example, and words, support his parents in nurturing him to respond to the grace and truth that are in Christ? If so, answer, we will.
We will.
La responsabilidad de velar por él, el bienestar de esta criatura, apoyarán a sus padres con sus oraciones, ejemplo y palabras para orientarlo, a fin de que un día responda a la gracia y la verdad de Cristo.
Sí, aceptamos. Sí, aceptamos.
Alicio and Leo, may the God who has entrusted you with Leonardo Benjamin grant you fullness of love in raising him. May God grant you to live a life of faithfulness to the gospel before your child so that he may know the way of the kingdom.
Amen. Hey, little man. Let's see. I'm trying to get him on the side that doesn't have the microphone. So. Okay. Leonardo Benjamin Rodriguez Aguirre, the God who created you, who sent his son to redeem you, and his spirit to dwell in you, may this God watch over you, enabling you to seek, to find, and to know him.
Leonardo Benjamín Rodríguez Aguirre, el Dios que te ha creado, que envió a su hijo para redimirle, y a su espíritu para morar en ti. Que este Dios te guarde, te capacite para buscarlo y encontrarlo.
Leonardo Benjamin, may God bless you and keep you.
Dios te bendiga y te guarde.
May the very face of God shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia.
May God's presence embrace you as we embrace you today and give you peace.
Que la presencia de Dios te envuelva y te dé paz. Amén.
Amen. We're going to bring Benjamin around that you may greet him and bless him. And now is when you need your blue song folder, number 22. All right. And you all can come with us. We'll walk and you can greet people. Okay, everybody. Hey. Do you want to give him a kiss and a hug first? There you go. All right. All right, then you can walk with us. So.
Thank you.
We invite children to come forward now for children's time with Dorothy.
Good to see all of you. We're going to first pass this basket around. We're collecting money. I think it's for water for children around the world. This is being done through work being done through MCC, Mennonite Central Committee, who works with all kinds of needs. And that's okay. There we go. Thank you. Okay. Well, I don't know if you have been hearing the word conflict a lot. We've been talking about conflict and when we don't get along with people. This is really a normal thing that people sometimes just have differing ways of understanding things, and sometimes we don't all agree. And sometimes there are larger conflicts because of the way people treat each other. So we're going to talk about a story today. It's from the Bible. It's in Luke chapter 19. This is a story that maybe you have heard before. It's about a man named Zacchaeus. Okay, and this is a situation where there was a lot of people weren't getting along because of how Zacchaeus treated them. So they weren't getting along with Zacchaeus, basically, right? Zacchaeus was a tax collector. So he collected money from the people routinely, taxes for the government. But he didn't only gather from them what was due from them. He always added a little extra on and said, you know, you need to pay a little bit more. And then he would keep that money for himself. So people thought, oh, this man, he's just so dishonest. He's always getting more money than he's supposed to. He's demanding more money than he's supposed to, and he's keeping it for himself. He's stealing, and he's a thief. And, you know, because of this, Zacchaeus probably didn't have many friends. People probably tried to avoid him. You know, when it's someone that you don't really trust, you don't really want to hang around them. And they certainly didn't smile at him or say hello to him when they saw him on the street. They maybe even scowled a bit. Well, Jesus at that time was going around to villages in the area, various towns, and he was preaching and teaching and healing people, performing miracles. And there were crowds of people following him because he was making all kinds of friends. They loved him. And one day, he came into the town where Zacchaeus was, and that was Jericho. And Zacchaeus saw the crowds coming, and he got all curious. He thought, this man, I've been hearing so much about him. I would really like to see him. But he was just a very short man. And you know how it is to be short in a crowd. What's it like? You can't see anybody, right? Everybody's taller than you. So he decided, I'm going to go to that sycamore tree down the road, and I'm going to climb up in there so that I can have a good view of this man. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into the tree. And there he looked, and he's probably pushing away branches and trying to look around the leaves and so forth. And Finally, Jesus got up even with him. And of course, the crowd was still with him. And just as Jesus got up even with where Zacchaeus was in the tree, he said, he looked up into the tree. He saw him up there. He said, "Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down because I want to go to your house." Zacchaeus thought, wow. He was excited. He thought, you know, people don't like me. They don't even greet me usually. And this man is saying he wants to go to my house? That's amazing. I know I've been just a despicable person, lying and cheating and stealing. So he hurried down out of the tree, and he took him to his house. And meanwhile, the people who Jesus left sitting on the road, they were grumbling. Like, why would Jesus want to go with a man like that? Someone who's sinning, who's lying, who's stealing. Well, anyway, Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house. It doesn't say a whole lot in the Bible about what Jesus said to Zacchaeus, but one thing is sure, that Zacchaeus felt loved and accepted by Jesus. And this is something he hadn't felt from anyone else. And you know what Zacchaeus told Jesus? "I am changing the way I'm going to be. I am. I'm going to stop stealing, and I'm going to give half of everything I own to the poor people. And to those people who I've cheated, I'm going to give back four times the amount I took from them." So suddenly, he had just changed everything about how he thought about people. So Jesus then responded to him, "Salvation has come to your house. You are one of mine. You were lost in your lying and stealing, and now you have changed and you are saved." So this story is quite interesting, isn't it? Because you think that, you know, Jesus even loved Zacchaeus. Jesus loves everyone. And he has not given up on people who are mean to others. And so, you know, Jesus knows that each one of us has feelings and we all have a need to be loved. And we need to remember that when we are with others that we aren't getting along with, or that may be treating us really badly, that Jesus loves them too. And if we show them just a little love, they might change too, just like Zacchaeus did. So what would have happened, do you think, had Jesus not yelled up to Zacchaeus and said, "I want to come to your house today"? What do you think might have happened? Zacchaeus might never have changed. He might have continued to do exactly what he had been doing. And may have just continued to steal from the people. I can imagine those people who were grumbling after they saw the change in Zacchaeus. They were really amazed and excited that Zacchaeus had changed, and it was because of Jesus. So, okay, you can all go back to your seats.
La escritura de hoy viene del libro de Efesios, capítulo 4, versículo 25 al 32. Por eso cada uno de ustedes deben desechar la mentira, hablar la verdad con su prójimo, porque somos miembros de los unos a los otros. Enójense, pero no pequen. Reconcíliense antes de que el sol se ponga. Y no den lugar al diablo, el que antes robaba, que no vuelva a robar. Al contrario, que trabaje con sus manos para el bien, a fin de que pueda compartir algo con quien tenga alguna necesidad. No pronuncien ustedes ninguna palabra obscena, sino solo aquellos que construyan la necesaria edificación y que sean de bendiciones antes de los que con los oyentes. No entristecen el Espíritu Santo de Dios, con el cual ustedes fueron sellados. Para el día de la redención, desechen todo lo que sea amargo: enojo, ira, gritería, columnas y todo tipo de maldad. En vez de eso, sean bondadosos, misericordiosos y perdónense unos a los otros, así como también Dios los perdonó a ustedes en Cristo.
The scripture for today is Ephesians chapter 4, 25-32. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, so that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. For the sermon time today, we have several members of the Colossian Way group saying about some things about what they're doing, and if they could, we'll just have a prayer for them and let them begin here. Lord, thank you for these three. Let their testimony illuminate us and help us grow as Christ's body. Amen.
Good morning. So, this morning, well, first let me ask, who here has heard about Prairie Street's Colossian Way group? All right, so this isn't news. Who here is curious what's happening, what people are talking about or doing? Okay, great. Well, that's why we're sharing today. So the Colossian Way group is it's a 10-week series, and we are halfway through. We've done had five meetings, and so we just want to share some reflections, some things that we're learning thus far. So I'm one of the co-leaders along with David Miller, and so I'll share a little bit. I'll introduce things, and I'll share a little bit of what I've learned, and also Ellen Morey and Rachel Denlinger, who are in the group, will also be sharing a little bit of what of their own reflection. There are 10 people in this group, in addition to the two co-leaders. We're engaging in dialogue on questions of human sexuality in a prayerful and structured way. We began in September, and we'll conclude this particular series in November. The process that we're going through is based on sort of a curriculum or structure provided by a group called the Colossian Forum, whose goal is to help churches work through issues that are often divisive, like this one, like human sexuality. And why Colossian? Has anybody been wondering why we keep talking about Colossian Way? Well, the sort of theme verse that that we refer back to is Colossians 1:17, in Christ all things hold together. So the goal is to see how, in the midst of differences and disagreements about really serious things, really big deal issues, we still find that as Christians there's something that holds us all together, and in fact that's part of what being Christian is about, is living with each other, learning from each other, loving each other in the midst of all of this. So a little bit from this group, their vision for the Colossian Way, why they put it together and what they're hoping participants will get out of it. They say, participants in the Colossian Way take up the practice of gathering together and loving God and one another while engaging challenging issues. We do this in the hope that when done in faithful ways, we will witness the body of Christ built up. The goal of the Colossian Way is less to resolve a specific issue once and for all, and more to build a capacity for working on important questions in a way that reflects faithful obedience to Christ. In the end, there may not be agreement on the answer to the controversies we face, but our goal is to develop habits that reflect Jesus in a true and more beautiful way. So our group here at Prairie Street has not been tasked with making any specific decisions for the congregation. Rather, the goal is to begin talking about a topic that frankly we have long avoided as a congregation. Another goal is to learn how we can approach conflict and disagreement as a gift, as an opportunity to grow as individual Christians and as a church. And so there's only 10 people in this group, but we want to share what we're learning with the whole congregation so that we can sort of be yeast in the congregation and inform all of our conversations. In addition to sharing this morning during service, we'll have, during second hour, we will kind of walk through the structure of a session. Like, here's what we do on a weekly basis. We do this and this and this. So that you can see how that goes. So that's a bit of background on the Colossian Way process and the group that's been meeting. I also want to share some background on Prairie Street's engagement with questions of human sexuality, more specifically on welcome or questions around, are we welcoming, how do we welcome, should we welcome LGBTQ people. So I'm going to read an excerpt from the transitional report that Pastor Steve put together last fall, which is based on interviews with many current and former Prairie Street attenders. So here's the excerpt. Prairie Street thinks of itself as having a welcoming culture. It does, in terms of friendliness. But when it comes to LGBTQ people, it's welcoming to a point. At what point LGBTQ individuals are welcome is a critical question within Prairie Street's culture. Members of PSMC are across the continuum. And for some, this question is close to home, as it affects family members. One member states that the don't ask, don't tell practice mostly works for Prairie Street. Others point out that the issue has never been studied but avoided, so it's difficult to know how people with significant differences on this contentious issue may respond. Members with family members who are gay or lesbian report mixed experiences within the congregation, some positive, others painful. Some young adults have left or won't attend Prairie Street, believing that the congregation is not welcoming enough. It is estimated that in the last 15 years, Prairie Street has lost at least 14 people because they or loved ones did not feel welcome because of the issue. So that's a little bit of background about where where we as a congregation are coming from. I'll share a little bit about some things that I've learned. At first I wasn't planning on sharing this morning. Being one of the co-leaders, I've made it a goal to be a facilitator of a process, to be a neutral party, to listen well, to help others listen well, but I have not been trying to sort of speak and say my piece, and I kind of like it that way. I kind of like not having to say anything that might hurt someone else, that might be controversial, that someone might question where I'm coming from, question my values. So I'm one of the things I've learned is how being a leader in this process for me has allowed me to sort of step back, and how I've liked that. I've preferred that. So this morning I'm pushing myself a little to share some things that I've been learning through this process. And I want to clarify, I do think that the neutrality of I don't know if neutrality is the right word, but I do think it's been valuable for the co-leaders of this group to, you know, make a space that everybody in the group feels like their voice can be shared and heard. That is part of the goal of the process. But I'm noticing it more as a challenge to myself. Because I'm noticing I have a deep discomfort with, I have a discomfort with saying something that might make someone else uncomfortable. Saying something that might displease them, something that might risk losing someone's good opinion of me. And what I'm realizing is that this discomfort can make it hard to have an honest discussion. I certainly like to listen to stories, and I'm willing to be challenged, but am I willing to challenge someone else? Am I willing to reveal my own confusion or uncertainty on an issue? So these are my challenges and the areas in which I want to grow. Something I've learned or observed as a leader in this group, I've noticed that the participants in this group bring such a depth of respect and grace for each other. I suspect that members of this group are actually pretty representative of Prairie Street in this way. I've seen participants bringing a deep desire to understand each other, a willingness to listen to each other's stories, a willingness to be challenged in our own assumptions and understandings. So I want to affirm all the members of the group, and really all of Prairie Street, because I believe, and I have seen in practice, that we already have some of the virtues that this process is hoping to develop and strengthen. And so I think we have something very strong and valuable there. I suspect that others like me do experience difficulty with when there's discomfort, when there's disagreement, when there's a risk of displeasing someone or losing a relationship or making a relationship less comfortable. So I wonder if the challenge for many of us at Prairie Street is to engage. You know, some congregations participating in this process, they're kind of going at each other, and the challenge is, whoa, wait a minute, if we're all Christians together, we should be loving each other, we should be extending patience and grace to each other. I think we're strong in that. I think our challenge is more about engaging. And I think our scripture reading this morning speaks to that. From Paul speaking to the Ephesians, it tells them, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. be angry, but do not sin. And then later on, let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. So how can we be angry and yet speak with words that build up? Just as we are kind and tender-hearted and forgiving, how can we also speak the truth to our neighbors? And why should we? We should because we are members of one another. In my experience, it's the people I'm closest to, my husband, close friends, my parents, these are the people that I'm willing to take the risk of speaking the truth to. They're the people I'm willing to say, oh, I really felt hurt by something you did. They're also the people that I'm most willing to hear something from them, even though it's hard. My gut reaction might be, oh, this is uncomfortable. I want to be defensive. I don't want to have this conversation right now. But these are people with whom, you know, this relationship is so valuable that I'm going to listen. And, you know, I'm gonna respect and respond. So if we are a church together joyfully seeking Jesus, if we are members of one another, maybe we can be encouraged to take a similar risk of speaking and hearing truth from one another, trusting ourselves to be able to be angry and at the same time speak with words that build up. So those are a few reflections, and I will say we're only halfway through this process, so there'll be more reflecting and sharing to come. But that's a few things that I had to share this morning. So now we will be hearing from Rachel, and then after that from Ellen.
So I joined the Colossian Way group with both eagerness and also a degree of anxiety. The first session helped a lot to calm my anxiety because we started with prayer and reading scripture together and asking God's Spirit to be present in our midst. This helped me to let down some of my natural defenses and lessen the inclination to be argumentative. It made me more open to listening and learning from others. In our meetings, we have addressed a number of issues, such as asking what fears we have when approaching discussions of sexuality in the church, hearing stories from people who identify as both gay and Christian, looking at different views Christians have on same-sex attraction. Some view it as rebellion against God, some view it as a disability. Some view it as God's creative diversity. And also thinking about ways that we can treat gay folks as whole people, as children of God. Sometimes it feels as if we're only scratching the surface. We have a tendency to be diplomatic. At the same time, I feel so grateful to be having these discussions. It's reassuring to join in prayer and acknowledge the commonalities of our faith, while also acknowledging a difference of viewpoints on sexuality. On a very personal level, I feel a need to share my truth, to not beat around the bush, but to let you know where I'm coming from. LGBTQ issues are dear to my heart because I myself identify as bi. Close friends know this about me, but I've never shared it out loud in church. It's scary for me, partly because I was raised in a conservative evangelical church with very traditional views of sexuality. In my 20s, I was disillusioned with the church. Then I came to Prairie Street and came in touch with Mennonite theology. It was my first introduction to a more liberal theology. And it was shocking to me that I heard that gay relationships were sometimes accepted in some parts of the Mennonite Church. This was refreshing, and I began a journey back to God, where I felt that I could both be myself and be a Christian. The two felt compatible and at peace. Because I'm currently in a relationship with a man, it's easy for me to blend in and pass for straight. In the past, when I have dated women, I didn't feel comfortable inviting them to church. I also have gay friends that I don't feel comfortable inviting because I know former Prairie Street members who were hurt and did not feel welcome. At the same time, I want to be sensitive to those with a traditional or conservative viewpoint. Because I was raised in a traditional church, and because my family comes from a conservative background, I understand where many traditionalists are coming from. I sit with this tension because being true to my identity, or because I have this tension between being true to my identity and being at peace and loving towards those who hold different views. It's uncertain what result, if any, will come out of the Colossian Way meetings, but I'm glad to be talking out loud about important issues of sexuality, and I look forward to what the Spirit continues to do in our midst. I ask for your prayer as we continue having important conversations.
With trepidation, I went into the Colossians Way Forum expecting debate. I heard ahead of time that this wasn't a decision-making forum where we were going to find a resolution, but I still expected debate and was pleasantly surprised to find dialogue. That fact that we're not looking for a decision frees us up to be able to learn how to listen to each other. And what I'm gathering from these dialogues is much more about the container, the way that we're doing dialogue, than about the contents of the conversation and the issue of sexuality. As I listen to others in these conversations, over and over and over, I hear people either directly or I can hear their intention saying to each other, "I love you." And I hear people speaking truth. And this is really exciting to see love and truth being held together through these dialogues, especially because this is a topic where love and truth are historically hard to hold together. So how do we love one another? How ought we behave? One of the questions that I've taken from the Colossians Way is how ought we behave in order to follow Christ? Our church's mission is to follow Christ joyfully, joyfully following Jesus in a spirit of celebration, hospitality, and caring, so that others may know Jesus and follow his way of peace. I'm reading that right off the bulletin. That's our mission. So how should we behave? I've observed from these dialogues one gift we can give one another is to truly know and love a person before we speak. Even if you're coming from a place where you see something as sinful or as a disadvantage to the person, the first thing to do is sit and listen to their story and know them and love them and accept them where they are right now. Even if you think they need to change, they're not going to be able to change unless they have a container of belonging. And another thing that I'm learning from these dialogues is sometimes that person isn't an other. That person might be our own selves, and we can hold this same compassion on ourselves. And truly, in these dialogues, even when the person is in another body, we are members of the same body. I have seen this practice of dialoguing together as being like gardeners of each other's faith. We can clear away rocks and weeds. We can plant seeds of hope and faith and love and truth. We can carry water. We can build up the soil. We can even set up decoys to keep birds away. But only God can transform the seed into a growing plant. We cannot make other people change. We cannot make people good. And only God, and maybe the plant, decides when the flowers bloom or the fruit bursts from the vine. So then, through these dialogues, I've been learning about how to be the body of Christ with each other as we are rooted and grounded in faith through Christ Jesus. And I truly pray that if anything that anybody has said from this pulpit feels hurtful or harmful, that we can go to each other and have dialogue and understand each other, know each other, love each other, because Christ is our center, and moving towards the center is our goal. Through these dialogues, I pray that we can move closer to the center instead of looking to put people outside, but rather welcome people in towards the center. Thank you.
We will respond to God's word with number 369 in the blue hymnal. Lord, whose love and humble service, in your blue hardback, number 369.
Still your chill.
In the Green Book, number 64. We are going to sing just the first verse of this song, but it takes a long time to just do the first verse because you sing the refrain, you sing that part through, there's two parts. The verse has two parts, and then we'll do the refrain again. Our sending song is in your blue folder, number 65. We're going to sing verses 1 and 5. This is text by Adam Tice to an American hymn tune. It's called The Ark of History, and it's number 65 in your song folder. Please stand. Five.
Let us go forth knowing that in Christ all things hold together. Let us go forth with our differences as one body of Christ, and let us go forth forbearing one another in love to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace. Amen.